And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. It is time for information overload. I have asked my buddy Pat McShay to come back on the program, and we have got a plethora of things to talk about. Before I get Pat on here, I want to give everybody an update. Last week I had asked for prayers for my mom, and she passed away on October 5th, but she is home with our Lord and Savior. That brings me comfort because she was a lover of Jesus. She loved Jesus, and she was a good Christian woman. And, you know, I'm sad because I miss her, but I'm happy she's no longer in pain and she has gotten to go home and her pilgrimage is over. And without further ado, I want to invite my buddy Pat McShay back to the program. Pat, welcome.
Jerry, it's great to be here. I'm sorry to hear about your mom.
Yeah, you know, I'm torn because I'm at peace that she's at peace, but I mean, it's your mom. You know, I lost my dad 7 years ago. So, and Leslie and I were talking about this. She lost her mom a little earlier this year. And if you think about it, that without your parents, you're an orphan. And it's kind of the feeling that I have that I don't have either of those to go to chat with.
Right.
It's a hole in your heart and you can't fill it. And honestly, I've had a lot of people this week, Pat, call and say, you know, I sure miss Tex. You're doing a great job, Jerry, but I sure miss Tex. I don't think anybody misses Tex as much as me or Miss Wanda.
I love listening to Tex too.
He was something. He was so far ahead of his time.
He sure was.
You know, I've laughed and told this before, but I did tell Tex to his face that when I started working for him back in 99, I thought he was crazy. There's no way all this is going on. And then I read something he wrote 10 years earlier and went, well, wait a minute. This is what's happening now. And so you keep reading, you keep researching, you go. And I told him, I said, Tex, boy, I was wrong. You are not crazy.
I was getting his newsletter in the mail back in the mid 90s.
He was something else. And you know, having him as a soundboard, I could run ideas by him all the time. Just drive down the street and go hang out with him.
Oh, wow.
It was so nice to have that as a fallback and as a sounding board. But, Tex was ready to go home, too. So, you know, we are blessed that we had Tex and Miss Wanda for as long as we did. Now, Miss Wanda's doing great. She's out in California with her son. I want to give that update. She's hanging out with her grands and her son and she's doing well.
Oh, good.
But we are going to do information overload volume number 21, Pat. We just keep piling it on because, well, these people keep writing this stuff for us. You know?
Oh my God. Isn't it true?
It makes our job so much easier. It's like, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, Pat, let's do a show on it. So here we go.
Yeah.
Number one, we just passed the 2-year anniversary of October 7 when Hamas allegedly attacked Israel and killed all these poor innocent Israeli civilians. But Pat, there's more and more info that keeps kind of eking out through the alternative media, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, we're not hearing the truth about October 7th. Matter of fact, the Israelis we now know, I wrote about this a few months ago in an article, that they had prior knowledge. BB had prior knowledge. And the soldiers, I saw the other day, there are videos on YouTube where they're interviewing Israeli soldiers who are saying that, they were ordered to stand down on that day. They were ordered not to do their normal patrols. The Hannibal directive was put in place. People that don't know what that is, that's an odd thing in the Israeli military where they will kill Israeli citizens in order to keep them from being kidnapped on the battlefield. Israeli eyewitnesses on Israeli television testified that Israeli tanks and helicopter gunships were firing into the kibbutzes and at the people at the music festival in the parking lot. And so they know that hundreds of the Israelis that were killed that day were killed by Israeli fire. Hamas does not have the kind of weapons that can incinerate hundreds of cars in the parking lot. And I've got some pictures and video on my Twitter feed at J_McShay. People need to check it out because we're being lied to about that. I think that whole thing was set up. And I think that just like the Jewish oligarchs were more than happy to sacrifice the Jews that they called soapers, how they said that they made soap out of the Jews. The Jewish oligarchs refused to help them, and they sacrificed those people, just like I think a lot of these people on October 7th were sacrificed, so they could start the bigger war in Gaza and start doing the bombing campaigns because they wanted to kill a big majority of these people and force them into Egypt or into the Negev Desert or into Jordan. I think they wanted the United States to take them too. That was brought up with Trump. But yeah, this whole thing, I think, was an Israeli plan.
I've watched a pattern over the years, Pat, where when Bibi Netanyahu starts feeling the heat as far as being prosecuted for crimes, he unleashes bombs on his neighbors to kind of deflect the attention away from his illicit and illegal activities and move the focus away from him. And I saw, he angered Trump, and I don't know if that was an act or not, but he bombed Qatar while there were negotiations going on between U.S. representatives and Hamas to end the hostage situation. And he just willy-nilly bombs Qatar. It's all part of the Greater Israel Project, Pat. You and I both know that. But I thought there was a ceasefire in Gaza, but I saw yesterday or the day before that 60 more Palestinians were murdered, genocided in Gaza.
Yes. Yeah, they continue to bomb. And not only that, Bibi has done several interviews here in the last few days. He did one today with Dinesh D'Souza, warning again that Iran is going to bomb American cities. So they are not done with Iran, and they don't want us to be done with Iran either, because they want war with Iran, and they want U.S. troops to fight their war. I've been saying this for years. They try to draw us in to every conflict in the Middle East. If you go back to the attack on the USS Liberty, That was a false flag attack to draw us into the 1967 war against Egypt. So these things are all plain.
It's funny how these Khazars, I can't call them, they're not Israelites. These Ashkenazi Jews, these Khazars, are so evil, Pat. I don't know what other word could you use that would unleash such a genocide against people. And we've talked about this in the past. The support for Israel, especially among young conservatives, has reached unprecedented lows. But I saw that Bibi just happened to be in New York, last week or a week and a half ago.
Oh, yeah.
And he was addressing all kinds of people. But then it came out in the news that he's paying influencers?
$7,000 per tweet, I read. That's a lot of money.
It was either it's Twitter or Instagram, especially TikTok. And they're looking for pro-Israel propaganda because he's losing the support, the unwavering support of the conservatives.
Especially the young conservatives. Young people overall do not support Israel. And for the first time ever in two separate polls this year, support for Israel is under 50%, and that's the lowest it's ever been.
Yeah, unprecedented lows, and especially young conservatives. Now, we already know that the progressives, they're just anti-everything.
But, right.
But the conservatives have always been a bulwark for Israel. You know, the Schofieldism, Schofield Bible, and all the Zionists that have infiltrated the so-called Christian church has preached this message that Ted Cruz regurgitated on Tucker about bless Israel and you'll be blessed. No, that's not really what's going on.
Well, you know, Schofield and John Nelson Darby have Christians praying for the rapture while Israel's hell-bent on starting Armageddon. That's what's going on.
Yes, that's a fact. They want Armageddon to come and unleash because they're looking for their Messiah, who just happens to be the Antichrist.
Moshiach,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And whether Christians, believe that what's going on in Israel is Chabad Lubavitch has taken over there, and Chabad Lubavitch is a death cult, and they are hell-bent on starting Armageddon. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it or whether I believe it, they believe it, just like Trump. Trump's a member of Chabad Lubavitch. He gives him hundreds of thousands of dollars, I've read. And so, same thing with his son-in-law. He's a Chabad Lubavitcher too.
Yeah.
So it's the main Hasidic sect in Israel. And they hate Christians.
With a passion.
Yeah.
They'll spit on you. They'll curse you.
They'll attack you. They attack Christians over there. So yeah, the people just that support Israel have no idea how much those people hate us, and they hate Americans. They resent us. Even though without us, those people wouldn't have near what they have. Every time a mother has a baby in Israel, they get thousands of dollars. And that comes right from American taxpayers.
Right, direct deposited into their account.
Yeah, and those same thing with the settlers, the violent settlers that are stealing these Palestinian homes, they're getting money, big money, to move to the settlements. And that's Trump, man. That's Trump. He stopped all sanctions that were put on the settlers there in the West Bank. Trump dropped them all like the first week he took office, and the violence escalated almost immediately.
If there's any doubt that Trump is in the Chabad Lubavitch movement, then that just removes all doubt right there, Pat. Speaking of doubt, there is a lot that controlled media keeps pushing about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, from Turning Point USA.
Yeah.
And I was talking with a gentleman today. I may have him come on the show. I'm still pondering. He's very knowledgeable. He's a very knowledgeable guy. Tex used to talk to him all the time. But the things that he told me just boggled my mind about how the normal cycle of events around an assassination of a conservative person, the life of it isn't very long. If it bleeds, it leads, so it may be there a day or two. But this has carried on for a week or so after Charlie's assassination, and it's atypical of what is normal in controlled media. Now, Candace Owens, on the other hand, is doing her own investigation, and she is exposing some interesting things, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. One thing people don't know is that BB and Jonathan Greenblatt from the Anti-Defamation League, which is nothing but a Jewish racist hate group, they've been very concerned this year about how Israel's been losing the young American support. And that, to me, could be the motive for what happened to Charlie. A Jewish billionaire recently pulled $2 million from Turning Point just days before Charlie was murdered. And Charlie had said just 2 days before in a Twitter post or a text with 9 other people that he was tired of being bullied by the Jewish donors and he wasn't going to take it anymore. He said, I will not be bullied like this. And, you know, he also said that he was done with Israel. And a lot of people didn't believe it. They said, oh, Candace is lying. Well, she put out the Twitter or the text yesterday or the day before and proved that everything she said that Charlie had said was true. So he was pulling away from Israel, and it wasn't just because of the genocide and the decades of brutal apartheid. It was also because he knew that these Jewish oligarchs, billionaires in Europe and America, are behind this illegal immigration, and they are paying to facilitate this. They line up these Jewish groups and they line up Catholic groups to help them facilitate it. But he recognized that it was these rich Jews that were behind it. You know, he pointed the finger at a number of things that the Jews were behind that he did not agree with. And anyone that's been following the Jews for any length of time knows that just asking questions can get you in trouble with the Jews, and it can label you an anti-Semite just for asking questions. And people that were, you know, put on trial for Holocaust denial found out that the truth is not a defense, right?
Right.
They're told the truth is not a defense. So even if you're on the right side, if you're against their narrative, no matter how bogus it is, you're an anti-Semite and you can go to prison. It's really frightening, especially if you count on them at all for your livelihood. You know, Candace has said that, you know, they've tried to bankrupt her. They've gone after her. They defamed her. They demonized her. And, you know, anyone that's been on Twitter the last few weeks, all you see is people attacking Candace Owens. People like that nut job Mark Levin or Laura Loomer, the guy over at the Babylon Bee, Seth Dillon, Josh Hammer. Have you ever seen him?
No, I haven't.
He's a guy that's close to the people at Turning Point, and one of the guys that I think was pressuring Charlie Kirk to drop any criticism of Israel. So he was a go-between between the donors and Charlie. So, and he's one of the reasons Candace released the communication from Charlie was to prove these people wrong and shut them up.
We talked about this, I think, the last time we did Information Overload, Pat. But both of us were shocked that Tucker Carlson spoke at the TPUSA conference in Florida.
Yes.
And Tucker has come out and actually he hasn't condemned Israel, but he has exposed the dark side of the Jewish oligarchs, the Zionist agenda. And Tucker, Tucker, he doesn't work for Rupert Murdoch anymore, so he's not controlled in what he can and cannot talk about. He's got his own network.
Well, here's the thing about Tucker. Tucker still says, hey, I love Israel. I think they have a right to exist. I love Jews. I have no problem. But he said, you know, when you got to call a group out, you got to call them out. And there's no room to call Israel out because they won't allow any criticism at all. And Tucker was not wanted at that last Turning Point event. That kind of started this last big blow up that Charlie had with the donors. They did not want Tucker speaking at that Turning Point event. He just told them, hey, I'm having Tucker. If you don't like it, tough. He even said in one of his last communications that maybe I'll bring Candace Owens back and see how they like that. So you know that he was at his wit's end.
Yeah, I know he was fed up with the pressure from the bullies.
Yeah.
And not being able to, and what the old saying goes, Pat, if there's a group that you cannot say anything bad about, those are the people normally in power. So
yesterday Josh Hammer called Tucker Carlson, and this is a quote, the most dangerous anti-Semite in the history of the United States. Now, think about that. Can you imagine how this moron would say that about Tucker, who every time you see Tucker, he qualifies everything he says with, I love Israel, I love the Jewish people, but, you know,
yeah.
So, you know, what Josh Hammer's saying is, hey, you can't say but, pal. You can't have an opinion. You're not Jewish. Who do you think you are? And people are sick of it. You know, Trump tried to make laws to keep us from criticizing Israel, and it didn't fly. And it probably will never fly because Americans don't want limits put on their speech. And, you know, I think everybody is getting a little sick of Israel getting their little feelings hurt every time somebody has a criticism of their genocide, which they won't even call it a genocide. But you know what? At least two former prime ministers are calling it a genocide.
It is an ethnic cleansing.
Most people don't understand that this cabinet that Bibi has around him now is the most radical far right wing of Israel that there is. And there's no left wing in Israel. They've got like three parties. They've got far right, extreme right, and radical crazy right. And the radical crazy right's in charge right now. And almost everyone in Israel is sick of Bibi Netanyahu. You know, they've been protesting, thousands and thousands of people around his house and chant that they want him gone. They don't report that in the American paper, but he's not liked in Israel much at all.
It's been that way for quite some time, and that's usually when the bombs start going off, whether it's against his own people, and they blame it on the PLO or Hamas or Hezbollah or some other faction of some terrorist group, Iran. It could be Ayatollah Khomeini just dropping a couple missiles on him. But he'll sacrifice his own people to pull the heat off of himself. And this is the pattern that I've seen for the last 5-6 years. And if you notice, Pat, anytime they feel threatened, they throw out that big accusation against everybody. Anti-Semite.
Well, there were hundreds of Jews back in the 40s that had escaped Europe and were on a ship off the coast of Israel. And the ship was blown up. The Jews blamed the Arabs. But years later, it came out, and they admitted it, that the Israelis blew the ship up and killed all those Jews so that they would be able to blame the Arabs.
Same thing happened in Germany.
Lock
them up, Adolf. We don't care. They're expendable assets.
Do you remember the interview that Jeff Rentz did with Kay Griggs, whose husband was a Marine Corps colonel?
Yeah.
He told her that the Jews were behind the Beirut bombing of the Marine barracks that killed almost 300 Marines. So the media in America has been blaming Arab terrorists for that. Kay Griggs said no. Her husband knew about it before it happened. People ought to look that interview up. Boy, you'd really learn something there. I've listened to it all the way through twice. It's like 4 hours long. To listen to the whole thing, and it is mind-boggling.
You know, people don't want to admit that the Jews in Germany, Hitler gave them free pass. You can leave. He didn't want them there, but he wasn't going to just exterminate them. They became the fodder for the propaganda machine that spews this lie that they were exterminated.
Why would you tattoo somebody that you're getting ready to put in a gas chamber?
Yeah.
You tattoo workers, it's like a prison number. So they can use the same number when they go to the store to get, they got credits for the work that they did. They had brothels with Jewish prostitutes there that they could go to. It was like a little town.
Yeah, they had a post office, infirmary, a base exchange, and they got worker credit so that they could buy goods in the base exchange. They worked in the munition factory for the German army.
Yeah.
That's what they were. They were POWs that were paid to do a job, and they had, there were births, there were natural deaths. You know, Victor Thorne has a great book on it called Holocaust Hoax Exposed, and he talks about this. And nobody talks about Elie Wiesel, how he went from camp to camp to camp. If they were going to exterminate every one of them, why was Wiesel allowed to go from camp to camp to camp? It's not like he was a liaison for Hitler.
Well, even more interesting, the guy that came out as Elie Wiesel later, he went to a reunion of the people that were in the camp with him and were close to him. And every one of them said that's not Elie Wiesel. They all said he was an imposter, and they said he did not have a tattoo on his arm.
Yep.
He always wore long sleeves.
It's funny how the truth comes out. Well, Pat, we have to take a brief pause, brother. We have flown through 30 minutes. My guest today is Pat McShay. We're discussing information overload. We're up to volume number 21. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're going to take a brief pause. When we come back, we're going to dive right back in. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. On a cold Wednesday afternoon, March 10, 1948, a group of 11 men, veteran Zionist leaders together with young military Jewish officers, put the final touches on a plan for the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. That same evening, military orders were dispatched to units on the ground to prepare for the systematic expulsion of Palestinians from vast areas of the country. The orders came with a detailed description of the methods to be used to forcibly evict the people. There would be large-scale intimidation, laying siege to and bombarding villages and population centers, setting fires to homes, properties, goods, expelling residents, demolishing homes, and finally, planting mines in the rubble to prevent the expelled inhabitants from returning. Each unit was issued its own list of villages and neighborhoods to target in keeping with the master plan. The plan, which covered both the rural and urban areas of Palestine, was the inevitable result of Zionism's ideological drive for an exclusively Jewish presence in Palestine. Clashes with local Palestinian militias provided the perfect context and pretext for implementing the ideological vision of an ethnically cleansed Palestine. Once this plan was finalized, it took 6 months to complete the mission. When it was over, more than half of Palestine's native population, over 750,000 people, had been uprooted. 531 villages had been destroyed. 11 urban neighborhoods had been emptied of their inhabitants. This is in the book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine by Ilan Pappe. It is 320 pages. We're only asking $20. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $26. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart by going to powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for the ethnic cleansing of Palestine right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit. We'll get it and get it coming to you. If you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. $26 postpaid for the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here, Jerry.
Now, in the last week or so, very interesting development in legacy controlled, I call it lamestream media. And it was announced that I think the guy that owns Paramount was buying CBS, got it approved, and they are going to put a new editor in chief over the CBS News because their viewership is in the toilet. Can you expand on that a little bit there, Pat?
Yeah, Larry Ellison, who is obviously Jewish, but he's got real close ties to Bibi Netanyahu, real close ties to the intelligence, the Mossad, the IDF. And of course, he just took over TikTok. You know, we were told by Donald Trump a year or two ago and Republican congressmen that we just had to get TikTok out of the Chinese hands because they were going to use it, you know, against us and all that. Well, turns out that the reason that they wanted TikTok was so they could put it in the hands of a Jew like Larry Ellison. Larry Ellison has a empire of movies and TV networks and magazines, and now he's taken over TikTok because they're losing, again, the youth in America, and they want to get rid of all the anti-Semites off TikTok, and they're going to censor everything on there. I heard it's already started.
I don't doubt that a bit, Pat.
But he put Barry Weiss in charge. She's a young Jewish lesbian. She was actually one of the journalists that Elon Musk brought in with Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger to come in and get to the bottom of what was going on with all the censorship at Twitter, X now. And Barry Weiss had just a nice little podcast, a thing she called, I think, Freedom TV. And like the Huffington Post years ago, Larry Ellison came in and way overpaid for Barry Weiss's little operation, paid her $150 million. So I think he bought her loyalty. Not that he really probably needed it for Israel. She is no doubt a shill for Israel. But anyone that watches CBS News from now on is going to get anti-conservative, pro-LGBTQ, anti-Trump, anti-nationalism, anti-patriotism news. That's what you're going to get. So I hope Larry Ellison knows what he's doing. He's got probably $100 million. So if it doesn't work out, he can fall back on his $100 billion. So his son David is actually going to run that operation, I think, the news department, and I think he's the one that actually hired her. So yeah, it's CBS is done for, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Do you recall what happened in the early 1900s? There was a lot of pro-nationalist news, a lot of pro-American news in print. And in order to control the narrative, because it wasn't what the Jews wanted to hear and wanted to be published. So what did they do, Pat? They bought the New York Times.
Yeah.
The Chicago Tribune, the LA Times,
yeah.
The publishing industry.
Anyone that knows about the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, that came out at the turn of the last century. They said in the protocols that they already controlled most of the newspapers and magazines. They already controlled most of the editors and reporters. That was 135 years ago, 40 years ago. So, and can you imagine today, you know, they own everything now, but it's anti-Semitic to say that. So,
right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And TikTok being probably the most popular app for young Americans. You know, we talked about it in the first half. Bibi Netanyahu is paying $7,000 for each pro-Israel content that's put out on TikTok and X and Instagram and all that, but specifically TikTok to target this younger audience. And then you find out that three rich Jews bought into TikTok because, as you said, the Trumpster said that China was using it as a propaganda tool, and it was bad. China bad, Jews good. So we had to do this deal where three Americans, Pat, Americans, bought TikTok. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Well, he's also taken over CNN and Paramount. So yeah, Larry Ellison, he controls quite a bit.
Yeah. I know what Horowitz was one of the Jewish buyers into TikTok.
And Murdoch.
And Dreesen, I thought.
I think Rupert Murdoch's family also was part of it.
I don't doubt it. Because, as I said earlier, and we've said this many times, Pat, if you want to know who is in control, find out who you can't talk bad about. So
right.
Control the narrative, just like they did in the early 1900s. What they're doing now with digital media, they're controlling the publishing houses, everything, so that you don't hear. And that's why they want to put the kibosh on the internet, Pat, is because alternative media is a threat to their continued dominance over the news, and they can't have that.
Well, yeah, I mentioned earlier that Candace Owens now, her podcast gets a couple million views on almost every single one. I saw one the other day that had 5.7 million views. That's more than Tucker Carlson got in his heyday on Fox News. So you've got these podcasts that are getting so much, so many views that people are watching them instead of the cable news.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they're going to have to do something if they're going to take back the narrative, because I hardly watch anything on Fox News.
No, so. I'll catch snippets of Jesse Waters on YouTube, or Citizen Free Press will post things that I want to pay attention to, but I don't tune into Fox. I don't tune into CNN. MSNBC or whatever the new logo is. None of the legacy or controlled lamestream media. I want nothing to do with them. And I will choose my sources to get my news from. And then I will compare it with other reports, because I honestly, Pat, I've become such a skeptic on what is being reported. I have to find three or four sources that I trust that are saying the same thing before I believe it. I mean, it's sad to say in this enlightened age that we're in, but well, we've got the wool pulled over our eyes so badly that people just don't even pay attention to that, Pat. And you know, it's funny how some people are now, and I guess it was because, you know, Tucker, Candace, others that are news reporters are actually starting to tell the truth about these Jewish power brokers. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, everybody calls her a nut job, but she recently posted, I think it was on X, that I am not suicidal. So if anything happens to me, you need to start researching. That's a pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty serious condemnation.
Yeah, they're going overboard with the whole anti-Semitism thing. She's another person that was a big supporter of Israel. But now, just like Tucker, just like Megyn Kelly is another one that's being attacked, all these people who are Christians are now being attacked because they've said this genocide is wrong. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is disgusted with the genocide. She's disgusted with a lot. She was the biggest Trump supporter there was. And now they're acting, you know, like she's bad news or something because she's asking questions. And I think people are starting to figure out that all this anti-Semitism talk doesn't mean anything. You know, they try and scare you with that, and they are powerful, but people need to stick together, and they need to continue to speak out while we still can, because we could lose our free speech tomorrow.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, I don't totally trust Trump either, and so I don't know. I don't know about him anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, comparing him and Kamala, he was a no-brainer. But seriously, this country hasn't had a nonpartisan America first, a true America first president in a century. Reagan was okay, but really, Pat, if you look back over the history, they've been bought and paid for by other interests, and they sell their loyalty to the highest bidder. Kind of like what's going on at CBS News with Barry Weiss. They spent $150 million on her little podcast to buy unwavering loyalty. The love of money is the root of all evil. And when you start following the money, chasing the dollars, you find out who's bought out, who's sold out, and who's doing the buying. So now there was something in the news, and I noticed this on your Twitter feed. I've kind of been under read here in the last couple of weeks with my mom's health, but you had on your Twitter thread, there was a coup attempt at the Pentagon?
Yes. Tucker Carlson said that he had more than one whistleblower contact him and tell him that during the 12-day war between Israel and Iran, that there were numerous high-ranking Israeli officials and IDF officers at the Pentagon trying to tell the Americans what to do and barking orders at American officers at the Pentagon. So I tell you, I've read from other people, Karen Katowski, who's a former colonel. She's a journalist now. She writes for LewRockwell.com. She said that when she worked at the Pentagon, she said when Israeli people came in, they were rude. They treated the officers that greeted them like they were scum. They hate us. I'm just here to tell you. Everyone that deals with them, whether it's a peon or whether it's a general in the Marine Corps, the Israeli officials treat them like scum. And it's just like Bibi Netanyahu said when he was asked in a private setting, and it was recorded, I've seen the video, he was asked what he thought about Christian Zionist support for Israel. And he called them scum. And he said they're useful idiots. That's what he thinks about American Christian supporters. People need to keep that in mind.
Yeah, they do. Now, there was a Democrat recently elected in a special election, and she hasn't been sworn in yet. Do you know why?
Oh, yeah. She was elected in a special election a couple of weeks back, might have been 3 weeks now, and they have not been allowed to swear her in. And a lot of people are saying the reason that they're not swearing her in is that she represents the 218th vote to put them over the top to get the Jeffrey Epstein files released. So, maybe that's why we've got this current, standstill going on with the budget. Maybe both sides want to keep that from coming out. It came out the other day, or actually a while back. I saw it again the other day. Dick Durbin is the senator that's been keeping the Epstein flight log from being released. Did you hear that?
I did.
These guys just cannot allow that stuff to get out. I mean, they're handlers, and people that don't know this, our politicians have handlers. If you don't think that, look at Ted Cruz's feed on Twitter. You see a man there who is slavishly, putting up tweets for Israel every single day, lovingly praising Bibi Netanyahu's leadership and calling Candace Owens crazy, and why do people hate Israel, and oh, Israel, it's just sickening. And he told Tucker Carlson in his interview with Tucker that that's the reason he ran for the Senate, so he could be a senator for Israel. This is a Texas guy from, you know, what, Houston?
Born in Canada.
Lives
in Texas. Is a senator from the state of Texas. And his allegiance, well, he told Tucker, look, so in the Bible, it says that if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. And if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. And I'm going to be on that blessing side.
Yeah.
Tucker
said, where does it say that? And he goes, I don't know.
You can Google it. Yeah.
Google it.
And then Tucker goes, it's in Genesis. Just so you know.
I think most people don't know where the rapture came from. The guy that popularized the rapture was back in the mid-1800s. His name was John Nelson Darby. And that's where Scofield got the idea to put it in the Scofield Bible. And you know who Scofield's handler was, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
The Rothschild family.
And Samuel Untermyer was the point man. Passing the cash for Scofield.
Yep.
If people did a deep dive on Scofield, Pat, they would be appalled to know that he was an adulterer, that he had a wife and a child that he abandoned and moved to New York. He was a snake. He was a con man.
But you should look at guys like Sigmund Freud, that whole, you know, you love your mother and you secretly want to have sex with your mother and all that. You know, all that stuff. These guys were all Jews. Modern psychiatry is all garbage. And they wrote all these books and they got famous and, you know, everybody said, boy, that's kind of crazy. Why did he say all that? You know, because he's a nut job and he was a pedophile himself. So, you know, Freud was nothing but a pedophile and a creep. So it's the same thing. And these guys have no direction, yet they want to lead us.
Yeah. The more things change, the more they stay the same, Pat. It's
right.
It's rinse, repeat, and over and over. And speaking of rinse, repeat, I watched some of the clips where our Attorney General, Pam Bondi, testified before Congress, and she threw mud at Blumenthal and Dick Durbin. Not that they are squeaky clean, but something about the way she acted and deflected from the questions really makes me wonder, is she just a stooge for Israel?
Oh, Bondi? Yeah. She protected Jeffrey Epstein in that trial back in Palm Beach in 2006. She's got to be the one that approved that sweetheart deal they gave him. Not only that, she's anti-gun. I don't know why Trump picked her other than she's a huge supporter of Israel.
Bingo.
I mean, I read the other day that it was, I think it was Larry Ellison that vetted Marco Rubio for the Secretary of State's job. Did you hear that?
No, but that lets you know. I mean, I wrote about this in our newsletter. All of the pro-Zionists that Trump put in positions of power. Hegseth.
Oh, my gosh.
Huge, huge pro-Israel Zionist. Kristi Noem, who I thought really was a good governor, but then you find out that her and Bondi got together and they want to criminalize anti-Semitic hate speech.
Oh, yeah, that she was pushing that when she was still in Florida.
So then Rubio and Bissett being a homosexual and all of his cabinet members are Zionists.
Yeah, Rubio's got skeletons in his closet. I wrote about that about 8 years ago. They were calling him Bubble Boy because they had pictures of him in this Miami disco. You know how they release bubbles at these nightclubs, and he was dancing around in hot pants without a shirt on with a bunch of guys, and Yeah, I'm sure he's got his gay pass.
It's just when your candidate that you vote for says he's America first, America first, America first. We're going to make America great again. And Sandra and I did a program on this called MAGA or MEGA. Then he brings in all these Zionist zealots that will kiss Netanyahu's backside and anybody from Israel. Then, well, you've been hornswoggled, Pat. You know, I feel lied to and cheated. And
yeah,
I'm not happy with the administration. I'm not happy with anybody. I mean, the whole swamp, Pat. The whole swamp.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter right, left. There might be a handful of people that are in positions of elected power that might be worth having an office. But I would say 99% of them, if you're a Jew, I guess you'd be happy. But otherwise, they could care less about you. It's almost as if our politicians think about their citizens like the Jews think of Christians who come to Israel.
Right.
I agree. It's mind-boggling, Pat, that this nation, which was founded on religious principles, has been so subverted, so decimated with propaganda, lies, and...
Well, you've got a country that's about the size of Connecticut with around 8 million people, and it's like the dog, the tail wagging the dog. How can they be more powerful than us? How can they be more powerful than Germany and France and England? I mean, all of the politicians in every single Western country, it bows down to Israel. Why is that?
Money and power, Pat. And you know how you get that control over them and feed them full of money and the power? You create dossiers. And that's why Epstein's log won't ever come out. That's why the Epstein files can't come out. This stuff.
They learned from J. Edgar Hoover.
Exactly.
You know, that guy was a homosexual and a cross dresser, and they couldn't get rid of him because he'd been spying on everybody that could fire him.
Yep.
Pretty smart.
He knew what to do to control Congress and the presidency and get his way, get funding for his pet projects.
Oh, yeah.
It's a trick as old as man, it seems like. Satan's got his fingers all over these politicians and power mongers that's all they care about. Money and power.
Yep.
So it's,
I agree.
It's such a devastating thing to realize that until we can fully expose these evildoers and get them to do the walk of shame, get America back on its Christian footing, we're in a no-win situation, Pat, but we just keep screaming from the rooftops and we'll keep doing these programs and we'll keep writing our articles and doing our best to inform the public of what's really going on. And Pat, I want to thank you for coming on and spending another hour with me. I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Well, that's pretty great. Thanks, Jerry.
Okay, friends, that's going to take care of this week's program. My guest today has been Pat McShay. We want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.